Well, they're just disingenuous. We played that clip for you earlier. The new Jussie Smollett of the U.S. Senate talking about Cory Booker, who was exposed last night, I thought badly, by Tucker Carlson. And one of the things that Cory Booker was trying to say, but he did it so dramatically, a family of service. It was just funny to see U.S. senators acting, you know, playing the role of a U.S. senator, kind of the I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And you see this all the time, that at these televised hearings, these politicians / actors end up, I think, embarrassing themselves. But they don't really care. I mean, they view this as almost like an audition for the next level, for president. Cory Booker, as an example, is a guy that had presidential aspirations. And yet, he's never gone anywhere beyond being a U.S. senator. But there's a great example of a guy that at these hearings was probably auditioning in the event that Joe Biden decides not to run for a second term, which, by the way, I think is entirely possible. I don't know if you saw him today, but he looked old and feeble. I mean, he looked really bad when he was in Poland with our troops, the 82nd Airborne. He looked old and feeble. I mean, it was not a pretty sight. And we're going to have another couple of days of this because he flew to Warsaw today. And he's going to be meeting with government. And he says he's going to be meeting with refugees. I don't know how that will go. But when he was shaking hands with troops, with our military, he looked really, really bad. He really did. Hey, stay where you are. More to do. Coming up, Sam Peters, Republican candidate for Congress in CD4. What does he think of what's been going on in Ukraine? He's got a military background. We'll ask him what he thinks. That's all coming up on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
This is Tony Grady, candidate for Nevada Lieutenant Governor. The family is the basic unit of our society. Parents make the decisions for their children. So why do those who run the schools hide what they are doing to our children? Because they are intent on undermining our society, and we need to stop them now. As Nevada's next Lieutenant Governor, I will advocate for parental choice in education. I will work for school vouchers and to fully fund Nevada's Opportunity Scholarship Program that the governor slashed and the Democratic legislature continues to underfund. Together, we will put the free market principles of choice back into our education system to achieve excellence by highlighting failing schools so that they can either improve or close. I am your statesman, considering future generations and not just reacting to the present. Your voice matters, Nevada. Please go to TonyGradyForNevada.com and learn more about my policies. I am Tony Grady, and I approve this message, paid for by Tony Grady for Nevada.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. President Biden has met with U.S. troops in southeastern Poland stationed near the Ukrainian border. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
About an hour's drive from the border with Ukraine, the president met with members of the Army's 82nd Airborne Division.
You are the finest fighting force in the history of the world.
He visited a barbershop and a dining hall, even sitting down to share some pizza. The president's main message was one of gratitude.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for your service. Thank you for who you are.
Later, he received a briefing on the humanitarian response to the millions of Ukrainians who are fleeing to Poland to escape the Russian assault. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The Salem Radio Network parent company of Town Hall News is partnering with two Christian nonprofit organizations to rush emergency relief to Ukraine. Food for the Poor and the organization Feed My Starving Children are rushing food, water, and emergency supplies to Ukraine around the clock. And Ed Rehm, president and CEO of Food for the Poor, says those deliveries will continue long after the media spotlight shifts from Ukraine.
When we make a commitment, we commit for the long term. And so we expect that our relationship with Feed My Starving Children in Ukraine is going to last well beyond the media coverage. We're going to have to dig deep. We're going to need your incredible generosity to be able to help the situation, because it's going to take months.
More information on this massive relief effort can be found at srnnews.com. Utah's Republican lawmakers have overridden GOP Governor Spencer Cox's veto of legislation banning transgender youth athletes from playing on girls' teams. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 153 points, the NASDAQ dropped 22, the S&P advanced 22, oil up to $113.40 a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With Angie, you could cross your next project off your to-do list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need and we'll handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. Or browse reviews, compare quotes from pros, and connect instantly, all for free. For everything from routine maintenance to a dream remodel. Because however you want your project done, we'll get it done. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
They're the Vegas dream team of criminal defense attorneys, Craig Hendricks and Frank Como. Both were prosecutors in the Clark County District Attorney's Office. One was chief of the Special Victims Unit. The other, chief of the Homicide Unit. Together, they're committed to you and your rights. Call 702-222-9999 or visit VegasDreamTeam.com, a division of DeCastro Verde Law Group.
This is Las Vegas City Councilwoman Victoria Seaman. My commitment to public safety is absolute. That is why I have the endorsements of police agencies across the valley. They know I have their back and will never vote to defund police or limit their ability to keep us safe. That is why the police support me, and that is why I'm asking you to join them as well. I hope I can count on your support to help protect and keep our neighborhoods and families safe. Paid for by Friends of Victoria Seaman.
It's 2:04. This is your KMCQ News Flash, powered by DeCastro Verde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family will fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. Las Vegas police are investigating a shooting near downtown this morning. Officers were called to D Street near Interstate 15 a little after 11 o'clock this morning, where one person was injured, according to a statement from Metro. The injured person was taken to University Medical Center Trauma Center. No further information is available, but what we do know is the nearby roads, including Bonanza and the D Street on-ramp to Interstate 15, both directions, are closed. So do keep that in mind. Well, the National Invitational Tournament, otherwise known as the NIT's Final Four, a fixture in New York City since 1938, could be coming to Las Vegas. LVCVA officials say they've put in a bid to host the NIT semifinals and the finals in 2023 and in 2024. This year's finals is being played at Madison Square Garden. NCAA officials say the bidding for the tournament ended on February 18th, and they will award a site sometime this spring. Las Vegas is already hosting the NCAA Tournament Men's Basketball Regional next year at T-Mobile.
KMCQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
We mentioned that police activity closing down the off-ramps there, 15 in both directions at D Street. And you're extremely slow there on the 15. especially northbound all the way back to Flamingo. So give yourself some extra time to squeeze through the spaghetti bowl.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve. I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Final hour for a Friday. Good to have you with us. It's live and local on AM 670 KMZQ. And joining us now, Sam Peters, the Republican candidate for Congress in CD4. He is the owner of Peters Family Insurance. He's a U.S. Air Force major, Bronze Star recipient. He's an all-around good guy, great family man, and he is running for Congress. First of all, how's life on the campaign trail for you? Because obviously CD4 is a big, big district.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for having me. Appreciate it, always coming on with you. It's always a good time. Campaign is going strong. We are all over the map, as they say. The district is a big one for sure. We've been to meetings with the Keystone Group did a meeting on Wednesday, breakfast meeting with the gubernatorial candidates. I was in attendance for that. That was a good insight on the gubernatorial candidates. We've got events coming up that are going to be great. We've got a meeting in Pahrump, a meet and greet in Pahrump at Carmelo's Italian restaurant on Monday from 3 to 5. If people want to come to that, we are turning the heat up on the campaign. We are the first. I'm the first candidate in this race to open a campaign office. That office is open, and if folks want to come by and volunteer, they can certainly do that now. We're going to do a grand opening of an event on April 2nd, which is next Saturday. Lots of advertising coming out on that. So lots and lots of stuff happening. Clark County Fair is right around the corner. We've got some events up in Lincoln County next month as well, and still doing meet and greets in Clark County as well. So. What's happening?
Well, I want to talk about your race, and of course, Stephen Horsford is the prize. He has gone through some difficult times. Let's just say difficult times involving his wife. And in fact, am I right on this that Stephen Horsford's wife has been asking him not to run?
That's what's happening. So Stephen Horsford being the prize, you know, we don't hear that very often. That's for sure. I'll tell you what, his wife did go out on Twitter on this. So we know that last election cycle in May of 2020, Stephen Horsford came out and admitted to a 10-year-long affair with a Harry Reid intern. It was big news for about a minute and a half, and then he was reelected. Well, this time, interestingly enough, the timing of this story and this stuff happening is interesting to me. Filing closed for office closed last Friday. On Sunday evening or Monday morning, Stephen Horsford's wife posted on Twitter that she is going to be silent no more, and she had just three or four, five, six text messages in a row just lambasting him for his indiscretions and the fact that he hasn't apologized to his family, that he's putting the political career first, and he's not taking responsibility for his actions, and basically had conversations about his affair with his attorneys and his campaign staff or his political staff before having any conversation with her about it. So she's live and on Twitter beating him up about it. And it wasn't just that one series. She came out again the next day and posted some more tweets about him and basically saying, you're not putting your family first, and it's time you do that. So I put out, there's a press release on my webpage, sampetersforcongress.com, indicating that in this particular instance, I agree with Stephen's wife. He should put family first, and specifically his own family.
I want to ask you, because this to me comes to the issue of judgment. If somebody will lie to a spouse and an affair for 10 long years, what makes you think he's going to tell us, the voters, the truth?
Well, that's just it, Kevin. You nailed it. There's no trust that can be given to him to do the right thing and to be a good steward of not only government resources, but, the public trust that he's supposed to have in the position that he's in. These positions at our federal government he represents 750,000 Nevadans just within the district. As a federal delegate, an argument can be made that he represents not only his district, but the entire population of Nevada as a delegate of the Nevada federal delegation. But he also, as a congressman, he can travel around the world as a representative of the United States. So these positions need to be held in incredible esteem, and the people that we elect to those offices, they need to have integrity. They need to be honest with their constituents and certainly with their families. So to your point, there's no trust there, and there shouldn't be any trust there. And frankly, I've called for him to resign and withdraw his name from the ballot, which he only has a few more days to do because he did, in fact, file for re-election.
Let me ask you, take you back to what happened a week ago today. That was incredible stuff. 5 o'clock, the filing deadline in the state of Nevada. And we ended up with 16 candidates for governor on the Republican side. What did you make of that? And I'm curious what you thought of that Keystone debate, the gubernatorial debate.
Yeah, sure. So the filing date was an interesting day. And, Nevada politics gets interesting as those dates, come along and go. And it was, 16, I think you said, for the governor's race. Many of them, just kind of pop in there and you don't know who they are, what they're doing or what their intentions are. But sure enough, those names are going to be on a ballot. I know you had Michelle Fiore on, and she was expected to run for governor, and now is going for treasurer of Nevada, which, good for her. I think that's a great move on her part, and I've shared that with her. The gubernatorial debate that was on Wednesday morning, as the Keystone Group put on, there was 5 candidates on the stage. I'm not sure why there was only 5, why the others were not on there with them, but the forum, it was a forum, less a debate than a forum. In fact, there was the Keystone Group did a great job putting it on and instructing the candidates that they, if they were to attack other candidates in this forum, that they wouldn't be asked any more questions. And they did that on purpose because the Keystone Group is a business-minded, economic development-minded group. So they really wanted to hear from the candidates on what their perspective was on, economic development and business regulations and deregulations in Nevada and taxes and those things that are important to the economy of Nevada. So they did a great job on it. I think, there was some certain standouts on this panel. The 5 panel members were in no particular order. It was Joey Gilbert, Dean Heller, Mayor Lee from North Vegas, Joe Lombardo actually showed up, and then Dean Nora was the other one. So there were certainly some good points, and there were certainly some folks that didn't do so well. But it was a good event.
Again, Sam Peters joining us, Republican candidate, not for governor, but for Congressional District 4, trying to unseat Stephen Horsford. I want to ask you, because you are probably exhibit A of people who have been impacted by the Biden gas surge. It's not the Putin gas surge. It is truly the Biden surge. Can you talk a little bit about how we should be combating this thing? Maybe some ideas of what to do to make this thing better for America?
Well, yeah, you can just look back a year and a half ago, and you can see what was happening. And you know, the handcuffs were not on the industry. The energy industry was thriving. The Biden administration and the Democrat the left has positioned this energy industry in, you know, going down the trail of the Green New Deal. And the reality of it is, you can't go down that road and shut off petroleum all at once. It just can't happen. And quite frankly, the Green New Deal is not something that should be pursued anyway. But under, you know, the Trump administration, we were energy independent. And since Biden has come in, he's done everything he can to shut down petroleum, again, to try and force the Green New Deal and this quote-unquote clean energy, which is not clean at all, which is a topic for another discussion. But, you know, when you have Pete Buttigieg from U.S. Transportation Secretary saying everybody could just buy electric vehicles, and that's their answer to this problem, you know, we've got some significant issues, again, with the people who are running this administration and running the country. You know, we talked a little bit ago about Stephen Horsford and his indiscretions, but it goes up and down the line. Every one of these folks pushing for these radical policies are destroying America, raising prices, and taking money out of everybody's pocket. And it just needs to stop.
The big question is there a short-term fix? I know people talk about getting the Keystone XL pipeline back online, but the Democrats say, oh, that could take months, maybe years, to get it fully functional. Do you believe that? And is there a short-term fix versus a long-term fix?
Well, so it's easy to break something. You know, anytime you have something of value, and I'm talking specifically here about the amazing economy that we had, again, 18 months ago, when you break something and you can, you know, move this into any arena, it takes time to fix it. So it is going to take time because these faucets, these spigots were shut off, and the supply chains have been crimped, and all of these pieces of the economy have been just damaged. And yes, it's going to take time to fix it. There's no argument there. But the reality is, when you continue to take steps to break something, all you're doing is pushing that fix out further and further away. So taking steps to, you know, you mentioned the XL pipeline, opening it up. Yes, that will take time to make a difference. But also taking the restrictions off drilling, allowing the policies that were under the Trump administration to come back and allow our economy to thrive unhindered by overregulation and overreach by the federal government. Yes, those things will take time to get us back to the Trump era economy that we enjoyed so much. But the longer you hold off, the longer it's going to take to get there. And the more of these Democrat left policies that you put in place, the even longer and the more damage is going to happen. Hey, look, California is trying, you know, Newsom is trying to put in place policies for gas cards. You know, he's going to give everybody a couple $100 extra for gas, and one, you know, $100 a month for every dependent that you have, or every child that you have as well. You know, where does this money come from? This money comes from the taxpayers. And in that case, in most cases, it's going to come from the federal government, which is not doing us any favors for our debt and our overspending that we have at the federal level as well. So, you know, again, Democrats, the only solution that they can bring to the table is print more money. And it's an incredibly damaging solution, and in fact, not a solution at all.
Sam, let me ask you, because the president yesterday in Brussels laid out the possibility of food shortages around the world and here in America. Is America, you think, prepared for food shortages? And is the president just trying to scare us, or do you think he's serious?
I think... It's hard to say Biden is serious, but you know, when he's putting in, he and his administration are leading us down this trail of destruction to our country and not putting America first. These things are real. The food shortages. There's been, you know, over the last few months, there's been instances of people that I know going to gas stations and they're out of gas. We know the supply chain is disrupted, and that, you know, when you disrupt a supply chain for commodities, it's going to affect food. It's going to affect everything in our lives. So it's a serious situation, no question about it. To your question, is America prepared for it? As a country, I don't know that we are. As individuals, I think, you know, the people that I talk to and the people of conservative mind their eyes are open and can see what's happening in the country. I think a lot of them have taken steps to make themselves prepared. But, you know, we've got a long ways to go to turn this ship around. You know, it takes a long time to turn a big ship around, and the U.S. economy is a big one.
Indeed it is. I got to ask you about Ketanji Brown Jackson and the hearing on Capitol Hill. 4 days of hearings. It's now complete. They hope to vote in the Senate Judiciary Committee by as early as April 4th. What did you think of not only the selection, but also the fact that she didn't impress a lot of the Republicans on that committee?
When you sit there as a federal judge and you are asked if you can define what a woman is, and you can't do that, it's a problem, first of all. But I take it back even further. The things that were, and I'll tell you, the Republicans took it easy on her. She got no such treatment that the President Trump's nominees received from the Democrats. The Republicans were very easy on her, but I'll take it back to even further than that. And here's the problem that I have with this nomination, whether she's qualified to be on the bench or not. I think her entire appointment process was a violation of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. When the President of the United States says he is only going to select somebody by the color of their skin and by their gender, the 64 Civil Rights Act was very clear on what it will allow in that regard. And quite frankly, here's another example of the President of the United States, Joe Biden, ignoring federal law and going against it. And quite frankly, here is another example, in my opinion, of an impeachable offense. And these are things that I'm fully intending on reviewing and looking at, taking action on, if warranted. When I become a congressman for Nevada's 4th. This has gone on far too long with too many examples to go untouched. So I think this is a poor nomination from that perspective. The Senate, like you said, the Senate will decide here shortly if she's going to get the stamp to go forward. I hope some Democrats come across the aisle and don't vote her in, because I think, again, the entire process is a stain on the Supreme Court if it goes forward.
I got to ask you, you mentioned the campaign office opening on April 2nd. Where is it going to be in Nevada 4?
Yes, sir. Right in the middle of Congressman Horsford's stronghold, we are opening our office at 3925 North Martin Luther King Boulevard up in North Las Vegas. It's a great office surrounded by some great businesses. And we are looking forward to bringing folks in and starting our community outreach right in the heart of Stephen Horsford's area, just down the street from his actual congressional office. Again, it's 3925 North Martin Luther King Boulevard on Suite 208 in the little complex.
Outstanding.
So it's going to be great. April 2nd, 9 to 3, we'll be there. We'll have food. We'll have fun. We'll have some volunteer opportunities and training, and it'll be a good time, and I'd love to meet everybody that comes out.
Okay, you got the event coming up at Carmelo's. It's my favorite place in Pahrump. It really honestly is, which is coming up on Monday. Am I right? 3 to 5 p.m.?
3 to 5 p.m. It is a great place, and according to my son, it is the best pizza in the world.
Oh, I just love that. And and am I going to have to take you by Boot Barn, or do you have boots for the Clark County Fair and Rodeo?
I am all equipped with the boots needed for the Clark County Fair and Rodeo. We will have a booth there. It's booth number 302, and we'll be there from, I think it starts on Thursday morning. We'll be there through Sunday. I will be doing shifts. I have volunteers doing shifts with me as well. But if folks are at the Clark County Fair and Rodeo, stop by the booth. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to hear what's on your mind, and we'll go from there. So,
and in 20 seconds, how can folks reach out to you?
Absolutely. So again, the event on Saturday, next Saturday, 3925 North Martin Luther King Boulevard, 9 to 3 p.m. Next Saturday, come out and see us, or you can go to my website, sampetersforcongress.com, or social media, Sam Peters, Nevada.